Filmed in front of a live studio audience at the Woody Guthrie Center, Vast Bank presents the latest episode of Tulsa Little Jam, hosted by Juan Reynoso.
What is happening? Welcome, everybody. Welcome. We got a killer setup going on here tonight. There's a lot of stuff, so I'm very excited about this. And I think you guys at home should be excited too, especially you guys here in the audience as well. Tonight we have Lone Wild with us, and they're a pretty amazing band, so we're really excited to have them, because as you know, we don't have amazing bands on Little Jam. They've all been amazing, but we're super psyched, because we don't have as much like good just rock, so I'm always excited about rock. So we're really thrilled to have them as we get closer and closer to rounding out the end of season 2 of Tulsa Little Jam, and I can't believe we've gotten this far, so I'm very glad that you guys were able to join us. With that, I'm gonna shut up, guys. Give it up for Lone Wild!
Thank you.
This season of Tulsa Little Jam is presented by Vast Bank.
Tell me a little bit about how Lone Wild came about. Because we were talking, my camera guys and I were talking a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. Kind of had like a bit of a Arctic Monkeys kind of vibe. Mixed with, what was it mixed with, Mark?
Mark Volta.
Really? Yeah, man. I haven't heard that one yet.
Mark Volta, last song.
Yeah, definitely the last song, Arctic Monkeys. Yeah.
I'll take that.
So I'm very curious, like, how did you guys discover? Well, first of all, how long have you guys been together?
So this band, we've all been friends for like 6 or 7 years. 6 years. And so this is the third version of this band. And so the bass player used to play drums, and then guitar has always been guitar. And yeah, we've been through bass players and all that stuff, and so.
So, is there a reason because for that? I mean, did you guys? Were you trying? Was it part of discovering?
Yeah, I think part of it was discovery, and the first band name just really sucked. I'm not going to even like mention it.
You have to. This is like part of. We need the juice for the show.
I mean, it works if you're in Oklahoma. It was After Midnight. Was
oh,
our band
second,
name.
I thought that was the name of the band. It
but
works
it didn't.
If you're in Oklahoma.
It didn't work for our sound. I don't think, but. Anyways, and then that kind of fell apart. Then we started something up, me and the guitarist, and started jamming in a garage with a couple other guys we knew at the time, old drummer, old bass player. And then that kind of fell apart because our guitar player needed to take some time. And so we're still all like really, really great friends. There's been no like drama between anybody, but it's just... I'm going to go do this now. And I've just continued to do the music. So
now the longest iteration of this formation is Lone Wild. And we have one album in our pockets, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the first album.
So we released it back in April. We were writing it two and a half-ish years prior with the initial bass player and the guy, Aaron, who's playing drums. And we went into the studio, recorded like 4 songs, and then we were just going to do an EP, but I had like a bank of other songs that I had been writing over the years. So I just decided, hey, I want to write a record. So.
And how did the name Lone Wild finally come to be?
My wife. I was talking to her and I was like, hey, I don't like the current band name, which was The Fairweather before. Not a huge fan of it. And so, and there was like other bands out there with similar names. And so it's kind of like, I don't want to do that with Google and SEO and all of that
yeah.
stuff. You know how that is. So, anyways, I put out some like keywords that I kind of was into. And she's like, how about this? And just spat out a bunch of ideas. She spat out Lone Wild. I thought it sounded great. Googled it. The domain was like wide open. And I was really surprised that that hadn't been taken by any bands. So
yeah,
went with it.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by Arts Alliance of Tulsa.
Bye.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Oklahoma Distilling Company.
As a young Ashcon, what were you influenced by? And when did you start playing music?
So I started playing music when I was 14. So at the time, my high school teacher heard me singing in the halls at school, and he gave me my first acoustic guitar. And he was like, hey, I think you got a good voice. You should learn to play guitar. So 6 months goes by and he gives me a guitar. And then I started playing and started writing my own stuff at that time. And I listened to a lot of U2 back then, because that was all I was allowed to. That was secular. I grew up in a Christian household.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It was very everything else is the devil. So now I listen to pretty much whatever. So.
Is the family okay with that?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did that change? Did it change at a certain age or?
I guess so.
Rumspringa, right? Isn't that a thing? Like Rumspringa, when they send them out into the world and whatnot?
Yeah.
That's not your religion, but.
No, I think I just stopped. This sounds terrible. My dad's gonna kill me. I just stopped caring. I was like, this music's better. I'm gonna listen to this. And so I started to listen to that and got into it. So.
Actually, my dad actually said that to me one time, because they used to dye his hair, all kinds of stuff, to try and stay young and whatnot. I started going gray. I started going gray pretty early, and I was like, I don't care. And I didn't care about this, I didn't care about that, and whatnot. Mm. I just never cared. And then he just started letting it go, and I was like, why are you gonna stop here? And he's like, yeah, because I see how you don't care, so you're right, I don't care either. And just accept it, and a terrible story too.
Man, it's just accepting who you are.
No, I mean, the kid sometimes opens the parent's eyes.
There you go, that's it, the kid sometimes opens the parent's eyes. Thank you!
Now my little brother gets away with murder.
yeah, exactly. But there was a question I was going to ask, and it was going to be so profound. I actually love that you mentioned that it was your music teacher that gave you the guitar, because it's those things are super important, and the whole existence of Tulsa Little Jam is for the next generation.
Right, yeah.
So to hear that from you and how you were influenced, because first of all, 14, I don't know, because I'm not a musician, but I feel like 14 is a little on the older side to pick up an instrument, for the first time ever.
Sure.
But for somebody to identify that and instantly feed that ability and whatnot, he didn't know if you would know how to play guitar, he just heard you singing. And I think that's an example for all of us to remind the world about why the arts are so important in young people's lives, and how easily one tiny thing can help shape an entire lifetime in a positive manner and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's an awesome example of that, so cool. Yeah. Nobody did that to me, that's why I'm hosting a TV show.
Yeah.
Because I'm useless. No, now, do you find that, how do you find that the music culture now, in terms of you being, like you were talking about the SEO and figuring out the right keywords to this and that and that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the landscape is more beneficial now to bands and whatnot, or is it harder than before, or how do you feel?
You're always gonna have your pros and cons, I think. I mean, yeah, SEO, and then you've got Spotify, and it's it's the double-sided coin of well, I can get people that have never even heard of me halfway across the world listening to my music, and that's the benefit. But then it's well, you're also kind of just giving away your hard-earned work that you just poured your life into. So, but on the flip side of that, I honestly just kind of lean more to it. It's I'm not really doing it, I would say, for the money. So it's nice to be able to know that this many people are listening to my song down in Brazil. That's just pretty rad. Maybe one day we'll get enough and we can go tour Brazil. So that would be cool.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Riley's Wine and Spirits.
This next song is on a record we released back in April. It's called Spitfire. Play a little more rock and roll for you. Thank you guys for being here.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
Tulsa Music Awards.
What's like the big dream though? Like, I mean, I get, you know, that you're in it for the art and all that stuff, but I know that you guys have aspirations.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's always goals and aspirations. I mean, for me personally, like being a first generation Iranian American, one of the big things that I try to do with our platform with this band is 10% of like all of our profits and things like that go to a nonprofit in Iraq and Syria. They work with refugees.
Really?
So like that's like a big reason of, it's like an undercurrent with everything that I do. A few of the songs on the record kind of reference refugee life and things like that. And so, but of course everybody wants to make it. I mean, whatever that means, but to be able to play to thousands of people at once or in one night would be amazing. But to be able to really just get people to believe in us and the cause that we're supporting.
Do you feel like, along those refugee lines, so do you feel like you're very influenced, your music is very influenced by like some of your heritage and your father's and your parents' like background and stuff like that?
I would say it's not heavily influenced. There's always like one or two songs that kind of, or lyrics within songs that kind of creep in from my heritage, or, you know, just identifying with the plight of people halfway around the world in that area, Syria and all those nations in the Middle East. And so, at least with this record that happened. So I used to be a lot more political with my writings, and then I kind of like scaled it back a little bit, but
why?
I was young. I didn't know what the heck I was talking about. So well, it's more fair. Of a mature, I would say I just take a little bit more of a mature stance on it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think young has anything to do with it, but if you clearly knew that you weren't, you know,
I didn't
actually
know what
educated
I was talking
as
about sometimes. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Put it that way.
Yeah, that would be the story of my life.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by
a generous contribution from Craig and Susan Lindberg.
This song is called Why Do I Hide?
Before I show my face, why do I hide? Why do I hide?
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by Andolini's Pizzeria.
So let's open it up to the audience, guys. Any audience questions here?
What would you say is your favorite venue in town to play?
Favorite venue in town? I would say at this point it's been the Hunk Club.
Hunk Club is a Tulsa Little Jam sponsor. Another question?
Howdy.
Hi.
What are your top three concerts that you've ever seen live go?
Top three concerts. Okay, so a few years ago when U2 did their Joshua Tree tour, like the anniversary, so Dallas. Mute Math at Kane's during Odd Soul tour. And Colony House when they opened for Mute Math like a year ago. At Brady Arts District or Brady Theater. Yeah.
How do you feel about the Tulsa music scene in general? Like, do you feel like the Tulsa music scene is, because obviously the whole show is also around the premise of that there's an incredible pool of talent here. So
yeah.
How do you feel that the scene here helps shape and support and be there for artists?
I mean, I think especially as of late, things have been great. Just like what you guys are doing and just with the Vanguard and Hunt Club and just all of the different venues, there's been a great community. We've kind of been in a cave for like 2.5-3 years not playing shows when we were writing this record, and then to come out and just to see how much it's changed for the better has been awesome. All the musicians kind of have each other's back, it feels like. And then I mean, there's also just so much talent, like you were saying. I mean, there's guys I know that I've played with that aren't even really out playing, you know, every single night that just, like, blow me away. And they won't tell you. Like, they're just super humble about it. And then they just show up and they're just, like, blowing my mind. And I'm like, oh, okay, I suck. Great.
Well, if you had any say in it, how would you feel, what do you feel should happen or would be beneficial to the music industry here in Tulsa?
Beneficial to the music industry here. That's a good question. You should have gave me this, like, 2 days ago.
No, I don't like doing that. It's way better if it's organic, and then we just sit here awkwardly.
I think one thing that could improve is just bands who are kind of like experimenting a little bit more, not kind of
that they should experiment.
They should experiment more. I kind of really enjoyed when it was writing this record. I just kind of disappeared and became like a hermit, and I was just trying to do something that learn. Like I didn't play keyboard a bunch before, you know, just starting to create new sounds and just I think that and embracing that. And even the people who are coming to like shows like you guys, like learning to embrace other sounds and other bands that are out there that may not necessarily fit like the mold that Tulsa's been used to as far as all the different bands and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do have a question though, actually. So I'm curious though. Well, I think a lot of the bands, if they sit, you know, I feel like, well, artists in general sometimes can feel like, especially in this saturated new media age and whatnot, that if you do that, if you go off and hide in a cave to write and you don't come out until you feel you're ready and whatnot, mm-hmm. that could be career suicide.
Sure, you know,
that you're going to become a forgotten footnote mm-hmm. because no one's really hearing you right now. So mm-hmm. was that not something that you guys feared?
Once we got like a year and a half into it, I was getting the itch pretty bad. I was like, I need to play a show like right now. But anytime I reached out to try and set something up, it just wasn't coming together at the time. So I just kind of took it as a sign of like, no, just keep getting better at what I'm doing right now. Just keep improving. So yeah, I mean, I think that's always a fear is like being relevant. But I think, I mean, I hope that, you know, if you're continuing to like better yourself as a musician or even as a person, that, you know, people will see the hard work that you put into it, and they'll at least the ones that should or that actually believe in what it is you're doing, like they'll support that. And so that's what matters to me. So with that.
I appreciate that very much. All right. Yeah. Lone Wild, everybody. Thank you so much to Lone Wild. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Juan.
Really, really enjoyed having you guys. You can check it out at lonewild.com, as you heard earlier, lonewild.com. One more time for Lone Wild.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us for this episode of Tulsa Little Jam. We'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks a lot for joining us, everybody.
This episode featured Lone Wild, hosted by Juan Reynoso, executive producer Carlos Moreno, writer-producer-director Juan Reynoso,
cinematographer and lighting designer Bradley Cook,
swing Kyle Johnson, camera operators Bradley Cook,
Timothy DeBruin, Nick Whitaker,
technical director, sound recordist and mixer Ken Llewellyn,
edited by Brian Hicks, production assistance by Graciela Moreno,
makeup and hair Kenya Burris.
Special thanks to Woody Guthrie Center,
Christopher Riley, Diane Rose Wright, Craig and Susan Lindberg, Jeremy Kavnis, Doug DeJarnett, Andy Cagle,
Tully Bowman, Jerry Wofford, Sam Flowers, Molly McCown, Dina Stafford McLeod, Jennifer Moreno, Karen Lacey,